from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. We are live from St. John Fisher University. It's Buffalo Bills training camp, and we're welcoming in our guest today, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, his annual visit into the sports bar live from Bills training camp. Joe, how have you enjoyed your time so far?
Always enjoy. Good to be here in the greater Rochester area, taking in the town. Everyone's been kind. The food's been good. The weather's been warm, and it's good to be back on with you guys.
Yeah, welcome back, Joe. And if we're looking at storylines here, as now we're past the midway point of camp, I think there's some concern at the safety position with some of the injuries. Now, these may not end up meaning much when we get to October, November, but right now it is a story, and I guess we'll start here. Like, what is behind DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp right now? Is there any guy that could possibly step up and earn on a spot on the 53 here?
I think it's pretty interesting because Sean McDermott told us the plan. He said the plan was for Mike Edwards to take the first team reps during this spring and go from there. Well, Mike Edwards wasn't available during the spring due to the shoulder injury, and the guy that got the opportunity was DeMar Hamlin. And anybody that attended any OTA practices will come away and tell you that DeMar Hamlin was one of the stars of that session. So he comes into camp, and he gets the first day as the first team safety, and then we see the rotation continue, right? Mike Edwards gets the next day, Cole Bishop gets the next day, and doesn't take very long for the attrition to come, right? And it's funny how the injuries tend to just compound at the same position for this team. And here we are with safety, the biggest question that this team had entering camp. Those questions have only intensified now that we have a couple of players that are injured in Bishop and Edwards. Now, Edwards is week to week, right? So, like, remember, it's August 1st. The Bills play on September 8th. So, like, he could come back in mid-August and ramp up and be ready to go, which would take them back to the original plan. But it feels like DeMar Hamlin's the kind of the forgotten piece as we talk about some of the guys that are falling out. DeMar Hamlin's the guy that took the first reps and has the most experience of any safety on this team in this defense. And so while the depth might be taking a hit, there's a real chance DeMar Hamlin, this is his job to lose, and he's still available.
So, Joe, talk about the two guys that have been brought in over the last couple of days here, in Burgess and in Kareem Jackson. What do these guys, what does Jackson have left in the tank at his age? And what do we know about Burgess, who's still a younger player? Are these guys that you just need to put on the guys on the field during the preseason? Are they just camp bodies, or do they actually have a chance of latching on here?
The interesting one to me is Kareem Jackson, 36 years old, 190-plus game starter in the NFL. He's been starting since 2010, and he was a first-round pick in 2010. Started literally every year, including last season. Now, he had some trouble, right? He had, what, four fines for late hits by the end of October? That's concerning, but this is a guy that's a proven starter in the NFL. I don't think he came to Buffalo to run down the field on punt team, guys. I think he has to have some belief that he has a chance to be a meaningful piece of this defense. And so I'm paying close attention and to where he starts to fit in, what opportunities he gets, and what he does with those opportunities. So older player, but, I mean, even Bean said recently that they've tried to get him in the past. They tried to trade him.
Yeah.
And he said that about other players in the past, with Von Miller, Manuel Sanders, John Brown, guys that he tried to get. And then he eventually does, and now it's Kareem Jackson's turn. So I'm keeping an eye on that. Terrell Burgess is interesting as well because he's a young player that was a fairly high pick, a 2020 third-round pick. Now, the bad news is he's been on three teams since then, and that doesn't, you know, you're looking for a premium pick to stick, and he hasn't. But, you know, I had him graded as a third-round guy. He was a one-year starter at Utah, good athlete. He's got some length concerns, but I looked at him when I graded him coming out of Utah as a guy that could eventually start. I think that's why he was drafted where he was. It hasn't happened, but I think there's some untapped potentially there, but I think Kareem Jackson's really the story for me with the new additions at safety.
Yeah, Joe, you've been here a few days, and Cole Bishop was available for a few of those practices. And that's one of my questions about Cole Bishop here, because if you're spending that high a pick, I would assume the Bills are hoping that at some point, whether it's this season, whether it's week one next season, he's going to take that job. So how difficult is the safety position in the Sean McDermott offense? What does Cole Bishop have to do to earn that spot?
Well, Cole Bishop, it's interesting. Sean McDermott told us the plan for him as well. Well, we'll see what he can do. Maybe work him in on some packages. And at some point, we drafted him to be the starter. So it seems like a matter of time there. But I think for Cole Bishop, when you listen to some of the commentary from Coach Babich, Coach McDermott, it's very much getting down the communication, you know, being dialed in on earning the trust of the players around you as a player that from the back end is communicating forward. Those guys have to trust you. And I think time, right, time on task is going to help Cole Bishop get up to speed to be the player that they drafted him to be. So forecasting his year one role is kind of challenging based on the competition, based on his own availability. But certainly the plan as a second-round pick is a big deal for him to be a starter, especially when you consider Sean McDermott's history with the safety position, whether it's Philadelphia, Carolina, or Buffalo, and taking investments that weren't big investments and turning them into really good starters, whether that's Quentin Michael in Philadelphia, who didn't even start for like 3 years, became a Pro Bowler under McDermott in his first season. You go to Roman Harper, Kirk Coleman, Mike Mitchell. You go to Buffalo, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer is a seventh-round pick on his third team, and people said he had injuries concerns. Yeah. Turns into an all-pro. Micah Hyde, Packers didn't offer him an extension. So, like, if there's anything I give Sean McDermott the benefit of the doubt with, it's the safety position. And as far as nuances it might be, it feels like he does a good job of getting guys up to speed.
So you mentioned Micah Hyde, and I think the Micah Hyde conversation is an interesting one. And it might be just as simple as they didn't reach out to Micah Hyde because they know Micah Hyde doesn't want to be here, doesn't physically want to be at training camp, and maybe Micah Hyde is A.J. Klein version 2.0, the guy that you have on speed dial that knows the defense, that if you need him and he's in shape, he can be a part of the team like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the plan, or do you think signing these two guys over the course of the last couple of days tells you all you need to know about how the Bills are feeling about Micah Hyde's health right now?
2 months ago, I think you filed away Micah Hyde and you thought, yeah, you know, if needed, you give him a call. Feels like we're there, guys.
Right? Yeah.
Feels like it's time to make the phone call. I think it's a good point, though. I mean, does Micah Hyde at this point in his career, does he want to be here at training camp? Probably not, right? So I think if Micah Hyde's going to be an option, it's later. And I don't know if later means when they break camp in a couple weeks before the opener or later means somewhere in the middle of the season. You know, it's hard to know what his appetite is. I think it's very meaningful that, you know, he's had the injuries that he's had and some of the concerns that come with it. And even last season, late in the year, stingers, having to go out for a few plays, you kind of hold your breath every time. And we're not even Micah Hyde. You know, he's a human with a young family. And I'm sure there's a lot for him to weigh in that decision. And so I don't know when or if Micah Hyde wants to play. But I guess for as long as the door remains open, we should talk about it. And it feels like the longer it remains open and Micah Hyde doesn't come out and say, I'm retired, I think it's a worthwhile talking point. And it almost feels like the longer that goes, the more likely it feels like it could happen.
Joe, what is your level of optimism for this Bills defense? Because we look at last season and Terrell Bernard had only 4 games with Matt Milano. Terrell Bernard, when it mattered most, I mean, couldn't be there for the playoff game. You're down to Tyler Matakevich. So the idea that this unit overall is more healthy, what is your level of optimism right now?
It's pretty fascinating because there is so much transition, at safety, right? And that's been such an important part of this defense for so long. And so there's that piece of it that feels unknown to me that gives me some level of pause. But I think the success of this defense in 2024 is going to be tied to how good can this defensive line be? How good can this pass rush be? I think that's been the problem with the defense. It's been very good statistically speaking, but it feels like in those big moments, sometimes in the regular season and always in the postseason, guys are just not taking over those moments and creating those pressure and getting those big negative plays in key situations. And so, you know, does Greg Rousseau take that step? Does Von Miller have juice, right? It looked kind of good, right? We're feeling good about that. We got to see it happen. Can Ed Oliver build off of that big breakout season? A.J. Epenesa, can he take those flashes and be consistent and do it over more volume and do it in the postseason, right? I think that's what it comes down to. And so that's the X factor for me on defense. I think there's been reasons to be optimistic, but we got to see it. And I think that closer, for all the conversations that people have about number one receivers and that being the missing element, I for me, it's who's the number one pass rusher? Who's the guy that is dictating pressure schemes and dictating protection schemes from the opposition? And when it's long and late downs, they've got to figure out how to deal with that guy. And because they have to deal with that guy, all these other guys get those opportunities. I think that's what it's going to come down to. And hopefully either one of those things happens that I said, or a combination of all of them do, and you get the pass rush that you're looking for.
I know that he's not going to be a double. I'd be surprised if he's a double-digit sack guy for us. But he's a name, and he's still got a lot of, you know, years in front of him in the NFL, and that's Dwayne Smoot,
yeah,
that the Bills kind of brought in, and quietly here, he's had himself a pretty nice camp. He's versatile. They're using him all over the place, all over the defensive line. What was your scouting report on Dwayne Smoot coming in?
I've been in on Smoot for a while. Every year I do a mock off season, so before it all happens on Lockdown Bills, I'll go through and I'll say, okay, these are the moves I think Brandon Bean should make, and it's not necessarily predictive. It's like, hey, if I got to do this, this is what I would do, and I feel like for the last couple of years I've been in on Smoot as a really good fit, and I think he can really elevate that Shaq Lawson role. And I had a lot of respect for Shaq Lawson. I think he's a fundamentally sound player, defends the run, good contained rusher, but the pass rush juice wasn't always there. I think that Smoot gives you all the fundamental play, but a little bit more pass rush ability, and I think he's been a really solid player for Jacksonville. Kind of unfortunate last season. It felt like a down year. He's coming off of an Achilles, 2 years removed. He's not 35 years old.
Yeah.
So I have some optimism for him as a 30-35% of the snaps player that allows you to get the most out of Von Miller, right? We don't need Von Miller playing first and 10, right? We don't need Von Miller right. playing third and two from the 5-yard line. You need him on long and late downs, and I think the presence of a Dwan Smoot helps you do that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yeah, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, is our guest. Let's go over to the offense. And of course, every year fans look at the wide receivers. This year it's particularly interesting. But at the back end of the roster, part one of the question is, Mac Hollins a lock to make this roster, yes or no? Part two, if we're assessing the competition, I think it's fair to say that Claypool, if he's not on the field, he's got to do something here to step it up. So when you're kind of assessing, all right, has MVS done enough here to earn a spot here, or just his resume earns him that spot? And how much are you buying into the Tyrell Shavers hype here at this point?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I would say Mac Hollins roster lock, and get ready for whoever makes the jerseys to start stitching up a C.
You'd be a special teams captain, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be surprised if that didn't happen. So stone cold lock, and I mean, not only just like the special teams. This guy's getting first team run a lot of it. Josh Allen's throwing in the ball down the field. Like, I don't know how much volume is going to be there, but there will be a meaningful role.
Just quickly on Hollins, because I look at his production in his time in the NFL, and look, it's not inspiring. He has one season where he had over 20 receptions. Derek Carr throwing him the ball that year in Vegas or with the Raiders.
Yeah.
So maybe it is just a function of him having bad quarterbacks. Do you think that's the case? And Josh Allen throwing Mac Hollins football this season means a higher volume for or a higher production for Mac Hollins?
Yeah, Hollins is interesting because there's a lot of hype around him, but you're right. He's north of 30 and hasn't really had a whole lot of meaningful production in the NFL. Simultaneously, it feels like the hype that he's generated here, he's done with all of his stops, including going back to North Carolina, where I followed him very closely in North Carolina, special teams captain and bringing all those X-factor elements to the table. So, yeah, I think there's probably a good reason to pump the brakes there, and that's why I don't know that there's a ton of volume. But if he's a 30 to 50 target guy, plays 300 snaps of special teams, blocks, you know, you think about the Gabe Davis role.
Yes.
And I don't know that one guy does it, but I think maybe Mac Hollins and MVS and Keon Coleman kind of split that up, and you are able to get what you got out of Gabe Davis, who played 80-plus percent of the snaps. You kind of spread that around, and you get everything out of that. So I think Mac Hollins is going to have a meaningful role. I don't know that it's 70, 80 targets, though. As for the other parts of this conversation, yeah, I think Chase Claypool, he's got to be available. He has to do things to make this team because it's pretty competitive. And I think the important thing to acknowledge here is that the Bills only rostered 5 receivers last year. That's it, 5. It was Diggs, Davis, Shakir, Hardy, and Sherfield, and sometimes they would call up Andy Isabella from the practice squad. So it's funny we're talking about who's wide receiver 6. Is there going to be a wide receiver 6?
Yeah, right.
So with me, my belief that Hollins is a lock, I think you have Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, Hollins, and then the 5th guy. And is it MVS? Well, MVS has got a fully guaranteed contract with 4 void years on the back end of it. They didn't sign him with any intent other than for him to make the team, and he started to get some first-team reps in the last practice. So we'll see how that ramps up. I think there's a known commodity component to him, but the downside is he doesn't play a lick of special teams. It's your wide receiver 5's got to play special teams, right? Introducing Tyrell Shavers, who feels like the hot name, the UDFA that's doing everything he's supposed to do. Joe Brady, Babich, or not Babich, Bean, all the B's here. Bean, Bean, Brady, Dawkins the other day is hyping this guy up, talking about consistency, versatility, first guy in, last guy out, knows the offense. Those are big words for Sean McDermott to say about a guy. And it feels like there's a lot of momentum for him to potentially be the wide receiver 5. So if it's 6 receivers, I think the conversation's pretty easy. But if it's only 5, it's the guy's doing everything we want him to do, UDFA, great story for the locker room, okay, or the proven commodity that has guaranteed money.
Go back to MVS for a second and talk about that contract, because out of all the guys that we've been talking about at receiver, he feels like the guy that's been – I mean, we could talk about KJ Hamler making more plays at camp than we've seen out of MVS so far. So what is it about MVS what about that contract, and is it a lock that he is on this team when it comes down to cutdown day?
Well, I think it's always – good process when you're trying to figure out roster decisions in the NFL to follow the money, right?
Yeah.
Like they sometimes teams tell you what they're going to do based on contract structures, and I think that applies to MVS. 1-year deal, $2.25 million, fully guaranteed. So that's the intent. Plus 4 void years tacked onto the back of that deal. There's plenty of reason to believe that they intend on him making the roster. It's what it's going to come down to is numbers. Do they want a 10th offensive lineman? Do they want a 6th defensive end? Do they want a 5th defensive tackle? Do they want a 5th safety? You can't have it all. You can't have it all.
Right.
And so with them last year rostering 5 receivers, it kind of leads me to believe that could be the case again here. I mean, there's been a lot of talk. I remember a couple of years ago we talked about, the Bills roster 7 receivers.
You're right.
And it was the year that they led the league in 10 personnel. They only rostered 6. So year after year they tell us that they roster a little bit lower at that position than we anticipate. So I think it's fascinating. But MVS, I mean, the most compelling thing, it's not necessarily what he's doing on the field. It's the contract that leads you to believe that he could be a factor here. And plus, I mean, this guy's got – he's been on deep postseason runs. For the inconsistency that exists with MVS, I mean, do the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last year without some of those plays that he made on the field? I think that matters in this equation outside of what we could see on the practice field.
Yeah, Joe Marino, our guest. And I feel like the guy that we kind of overlook in this offense, maybe because he's been here just so dependable, is actually Dawson Knox. And we had Jim Miller, a former NFL quarterback, on with us. He works now nationally for Sirius. He says the secret for the Bills offense is to run more 12 personnel. He actually expects that when really it's not exactly 12 personnel with the way you would use Dalton Kincaid. Is that actually something you could see that after all these years about talking, running 2 tight end formations, that could actually end up being more of a base offense for Buffalo this year?
I think they wanted it to be last year, and when Knox was available, it was. Of course, when he got injured, and then Kincaid missed one game with a concussion, and kind of like in the middle of the season, while you're trying to like hit your stride as an offense, that starts happening. Then you switch your coordinators. Like, we never got to see the what I believe the Bills wanted their offense to be when they were putting it together this time last year. But I do think that Knox is an X factor, and he's a handsomely paid tight end. And whether it's blocking and playing in line that allows Dalton Kincaid to be freed up, or you know, using his versatility as well and having a lot of big bodies on the perimeter, Dawson Knox is going to play a lot. You know, I think he'll play 60% of the snaps on offense and probably catch 30 to 50 passes. And you know, he's not, Dawson Knox has got a lot of touchdown production as well that's kind of overlooked for this football team. In fact, he's pretty close to knocking on the door of Pete Metzelaar for being the number one tight end in the history of the Bills for touchdown reception. So I don't think he can be overlooked. I think he's an important piece of the offense being structurally what they want it to be. So I don't know if the huge volume is going to be there, but I think he matters.
So, Joe, given that the Bills are carrying the second most dead cap in the league, given that the production of Stephon Diggs has left the building, do they have enough on this roster, on this offense, to replace that production and be as productive as they've been through the Josh Allen era?
I think it's going to look different. I think that's the number one thing here is, I mean, you have over 300 targets from last year vacated with Diggs and Davis, and the list goes on. Of course, those are the two highest volume pieces of that. And so I don't think it's going to look the same. I don't think you're going to have a situation where you're funneling 150, 160 targets to Stephon Diggs. It's going to be spread the ball around a little bit more. And I think that's a fascinating idea for Josh Allen to approach running this offense. Just play, right? Run the play. It's not about where Diggs is and where you start your eyes based on where Diggs is. It's run the play. And I think that the everybody eats idea is definitely something that they're embracing. I think the production distribution is going to look different. I think the way the offense looks is going to be different. But I think there's enough pieces here and there's enough depth that I think the expectation should be very high that the Bills offense should be, once again, one of the better offenses in the league. And they got Josh Allen. Josh Allen gets a lot of first downs and a lot of touchdowns, right, at a higher clip than anyone else. So it might look and feel different, but I think this offense has what's necessary for them to continue to be a top-performing unit.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, also doing a lot of draft work, too. Have you already started doing homework here for 2025, Joe?
It soon enough, we'll start to look at that a little bit. But, yeah, appreciate that. We also do the Locked On NFL Scouting podcast, where it ties together some of the draft work that I do in NFL discussions at large.
Now, I was telling Joe off the air, I'm a Fubo guy, and I was scrolling deep into the channels. They give you so many channels to look through. And I'm like, oh, Locked On has a channel, like the Locked On channel. I flip over to it, and there's Joe doing your scouting, your NFL scouting, you know, show with another guy. I'm like, Joe Marino is everywhere.
Appreciate that, guys. Trying to stay in this space as long as I can. So I appreciate all the opportunities.
Doing a great job. Locked On Bills podcast is a must listen for Bills fans. We encourage you to check it out in the free to download Odyssey app. Joe, safe travels. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks,
today.
Guys. Appreciate it as always.
Joe Marino stopping by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Our conversation earlier today here on The Fan Rochester.
Yeah, as he's good to kind of lean on when it comes to the details of the X's and O's and everything else. I'll say this about Josh Allen. If you have an offense that matches the production and you get wins, he's in the conversation for the league MVP, is he not? If you take away Diggs and Allen somehow becomes better. You know, I heard Bart Winkler on our show yesterday call it addition by subtraction. If that's the case, I think there's a lot you can be encouraged. I think this Bills offense is actually going to be just fine. It's the safeties, it's the back end, it's the pass rush, it's all those things that right now I just kind of got some questions entering the season.
We're going to talk to Bills Swiss Army Knife, Cam Lewis. If you missed our conversation with him from earlier, that's coming up as part of Happy Hour, which is on the way next.
Do you actually own a Swiss Army Knife?
I do. It's with my camping gear. One of those things that has everything.
Ah,
in it. Has like
okay.
a little toothpick in it, like a little plastic toothpick even in it that like slides in there. Yeah, the scissors, the whole thing, all in one little neat compact package. Yeah, I've got one with my camping gear.
My son has one. I want one.
You got to get one.
Yeah, I got to get one.
keep that in mind for Christmas. Christmas is will be here before we know it, Gino. But anyways, Cam Lewis will be stopping by, and we'll talk a little bit about his role. It's one that's hard to define because he kind of does everything they ask him to do on the defensive side of the ball. We'll learn more about him and the camp that he's having so far. We've got a round of shots coming up in the sports bar. We have time for your calls at 866-4326, and we'll recap today's practice, day 7 here at St. John Fisher University, plus a little bit of NFL news to get to as well, including an injury to a franchise quarterback that will see him miss the month of August. All coming up on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.